Well, experience has shown us that voluntary assisted dying or euthanasia is not an easy topic to discuss as a nation, and certainly not an easy one to legislate for. One man who's taken up the cause for those in favour of voluntary assisted dying is Andrew Denton.
And I remember thinking at the time, this doesn't look like sedation to me. He's in real pain. Have I misremembered that?
No.
I don't think so, no. I think there were times when that was clearly what was going on. And at that point, the drugs weren't enough to cut through all of that.
That's Andrew Denton. And
that memory of Dad's dying never left me.
I beg your pardon, Andrew Denton and some of his sisters remembering their father, Kit, who died at the age of 67. In 2015, you might remember, Andrew Denton launched the Better Off Dead podcast. Well, now he's back with the second season and back with us to tell us more about it. Hello, Andrew. Welcome back.
Thanks, Frank. Good morning.
Do you think as a nation we're getting better at talking about death and being prepared for the end of our life? Because since your first podcast series, there has been some movement in terms of laws, passing laws.
Yes, and I think the fact that now three states have these laws tells you the conversation is getting better. And one of the points about this debate, Fran, is it's, yes, these laws are about voluntary assisted dying, but the conversation is much wider than that. It's about better end-of-life care for everyone. We're all going there. And, you know, it's instructive to note that wherever these laws are passed, in Western Australia and Victoria and Tasmania, that there's also extra funding goes to palliative care. Queensland, who are going to debate this law later in the year, have just announced $170 million more funding for palliative care. So there is a broad understanding big through the prism of this debate that we can be kinder and we need to be better in many cases with in the ways in which we help each other at the end of our lives.
Yeah, let's talk about that because, I mean, looking on the palliative care discussion is often brought forward by those who are against voluntary assisted dying because they say we should be putting better support into palliative care. From the work you've done, the people you've spoken to, can improved palliative care mean we don't need, there's not a need for voluntary assisted dying laws?
No. And I'll start this by saying we have, I believe it is the second best ranked palliative care in the world. The work that palliative care does here in Australia is exemplary, and more funding, those of us that advocate for assisted dying advocate for more funding for palliative care. However, it is just a fact, and it's a fact acknowledged by palliative care themselves, that they cannot ease all pain and suffering, and there are some ways in which people die which are beyond their help. The other reality,
but that's challenged, Dan. I mean, that's challenged in your own podcast. I heard the first episode, former AMA Vice President Dr. Stephen Parnas, who was spoken to on the program before, not about this, but he clearly said, in his experience, if palliative care is done correctly, people shouldn't suffer at all.
It's an untruth. I'm sorry to say it. It's an untruth, and he shouldn't say it. In this second series, I speak to some of the most senior palliative care people in Australia, pioneers of the movement, and they say definitively, no, that is not true. So it is not true. And Palliative Care Australia, they, through the Palliative Care Outcomes Collaboration, every year they collect statistics from palliative care units around Australia. And they publish them every year. It's from Wollongong University. And you can see for yourself the areas which, at the end of life, people are in distress. So it's simply not true. However, this is not an either-or conversation. So in Victoria, almost everybody that used the voluntary assisted dying law in that first year, that's 124 people, were also in palliative care. One oncologist I spoke to said he estimated that the patients of his who he had assisted to die had been on average in palliative care for 7 months. Palliative care helps people in many ways and many important ways, but that last step where the way I describe it is this, the kind of diseases we're talking about, imagine all the things that make you you, and then imagine them being stripped away one by one. And that last step where you want to have control so that you're not completely torn apart at the end of your life in front of your family, that's where voluntary assisted dying comes in. It is not an either or.
So since we spoke, since you launched your first series, the Victoria has legislated. WA, I think, has legislation passed, which is due to start operating from July this year, I think. And Tasmania, it's through the lower house, so it's on its way to becoming law. That's a significant change. Victoria is the only one that's up and working, and you've been looking at the effectiveness of it, how it's working. What's your assessment of how it's going?
Well, my assessment is that all the things that were said in the Parliament by those that opposed it and that were said by doctors who opposed it, mm-hmm. such as Dr. Parnas, for instance, that, the palliative care made voluntary assisted dying unnecessary, or that you couldn't create a law which had safeguards, or that people would be coerced to die, have been manifestly proven to be untrue. The law is operating for the people for whom it's designed, which is people at the end of their life with serious diseases. The doctors involved in it, the level of care and the integrity of the system is extraordinary. You've got very, very senior people. So some of the people I've spoken to in this podcast, you've got former Supreme Court Justice Betty King, who runs the Assisted Dying Review Board that looks at all the cases. You've got Professor Michael Dooley, who's who runs the statewide pharmacy services that delivers the medication. And he and his team have delivered this medication to all of those people. And the expression he uses is they are steely-eyed determined. They know exactly what they want to do. The doctors involved, many of them are very senior doctors, chief medical officers, doctors that run acute services at Royal Melbourne Hospital. These are people of extraordinary integrity. And the care that they take in assessing these people, and the one thing I heard from all the families over and over again is how scrupulous the system was. And the number one complaint from families and those that go through this system is how many times the person who's requesting this medication is made to state, is this what you want? Mm. Are you sure this is what you want?
And do you, from your experience, those you're speaking with, would they like to be asked that question less? Would they like fewer safeguards along the way, or do you think that's essential?
No, they get it, but it's frustrating. So, for example, one of the people I spoke to, Katie Harley, her dad, Phil, who had just had 18 years of every cancer you could imagine, even right at the end, when it came time for the doctor to inject him, as was allowed under Victoria's law, the doctor said again, is this what you want? And Phil, in almost his dying breath, said to him, of course it bloody is. So people get it, but it's a difficult system. One woman I spoke to who is a doctor herself, her father had motor neurone disease, it took 100 days, and he was really suffering, from the moment he started to apply to the moment he was assisted to die, because it was so hard to find a specialist that would sign off.
Mm.
It's a difficult system, and the best way I can explain that is in the 18 months it's been going, almost a third of the people who were found eligible died before the medication could be given to them.
Mm.
It's hard. Rather than being, as people suggested, oh, this will be just an easy thing for people to die, it's hard. And everybody I spoke to involved in the system, and as I said, many of them are very senior, confirmed that.
Okay. Andrew, thank you very much.
Thanks, Fran.
Andrew Denton, his Better Off Dead Season 2 podcast series is available from today. And, you know, if that report, these are difficult issues, if that report has raised any issues for you, you can seek support through Lifeline on 1311 14.